we can do nothing without you. Thank you so very much, choir, for delivering that message. Hallelujah. Now we look at our scripture. Can we all just rise? As we read our scripture from James chapter 4, verse 13, and we read down to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Finally, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is the word of the Lord. Let us sit down and hear what God is saying today. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. Thank you for the availability of this word all around us. Thank you for continuing to remind us of your mind about this relationship between us and you. You continue to remind us. Help us, Lord, not just to be hearers, but to also be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We just read God's word, and one example I have, which I would mention very quickly before we go into the main scripture, to demonstrate what James was telling us about there. It's something that happened in South Africa while we were there in 2012. There was a popular news, I think it was a continuity announcer in South African Broadcasting Corporation. His name, Vuyo Mbuli. On Friday, Vuyo Mbuli told his audience on air, he said, I'll be seeing you on Monday. And he left, and everybody was waiting to see him on Monday. But that was never to be. Because on Saturday, he went to the stadium to watch a rugby match. And while he was in that stadium watching the rugby match, he slumped and he died right there. So on Monday, his partner came mourning and saying, Vuyo was no more. That just illustrated that. But before I go into what we have today, the bearings of presumption, because that was the case of presumption, the peril of presumption, I told the Lord, I will give this very brief testimony, and I could forget. I don't want to forget, because for me this is like a vow I made, and I have to pay it. very briefly, we had issues having to carry our luggage, and we felt we were going to pay excess luggage and possibly spend a lot of money paying excess luggage. We didn't know that the Lord didn't want us to pay excess luggage, not even one naira excess luggage. So when I was reminding my husband that he needed to give somebody some money, he said, I hope we have money to pay for excess luggage once we give out that. He said, well, let's give it out first. And we did that. We got to the airport, and our luggage was weighed. And the young man there said, look what, this one is overweight. We said, no problem. By how many kg? He told us, he said, we'll pay the excess. That same young man changed his mind and said, you better carry this luggage on you. Because it's not every luggage that is going into this aircraft that will come out at destination. And destination was worried. So we had to carry the luggage. It wasn't easy to carry, but we had to carry it since they said we should carry it. And he checked the other one that was left and said, you won't pay anything. We didn't quite understand, but that was it. God didn't want us to spend that money. Hallelujah. The thing I asked God is, who is this money meant for? Since you didn't want it to be given to the airport, to this airline, who is it meant for? And the quiet answer I had was that God would tell me who it was meant for. As soon as we came down at Warri Airport, God showed me the person that he was saving that money for. Hallelujah! And we gave it to the person. Hallelujah! Another prayer that I prayed was that our items should come home. We didn't need to go back to worry. And God answered you to the prayer. Please, I just want you to jam your hands and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who continues to answer our prayers daily. We give him praise. We give him praise. In Jesus' name. The last time I shared the testimony, it had to do with bullets raining on our roof. And thereafter, a number of brethren came to us. I said, what was it really? The truth is that we didn't even know until later. We didn't know it was crossfire between Obiaruku youths and Fulani cattlemen. And the bullets were flying across our roof. We didn't know. But God protected us. Another round of applause for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, on our message, the perils of presumption. We have read our main scripture. From time to time, we'll be looking at other scriptures. But there's something here. There are two words that we need to get a bit clear so we can follow this discussion. This discussion and this meditation that the Lord has put in our hearts this morning. One, peril. Peril simply means serious and immediate danger. It's not small danger. Let's take it to be very small. We are talking about very serious danger and a danger that is immediate. It will happen now, anytime. Then presumptuous or presumption is an idea that is taken to be true based on probability. That is, you just assume that probably because of human nature, because of who we may, what human nature is, that is true. Like we read in the scripture, the assumption is, I wake up every day, I do my normal routine, so I keep planning and planning and planning, and so I will go here, I will go there, but we don't really recognize that we don't own our lives. And that is why the choir was telling us, you can't do that without him. You can't breathe without him, they said. So when behavior is also perceived to be disrespectful, it just comes to a gathering of elders. Very young in the African setting, I said, always salute to and you walk away. The way to describe you that you are presumptuous, but just assuming that these people are your age, behavior that is perceived to be arrogant, disrespectful. Something that you do not within the permission of appropriate behavior appropriate limits. He seemed to be arrogant, and he overtly blew it up. That is presumption. Yesterday, and there are dangers, real dangers, people don't know the dangers. A number of times you go on Facebook, and you say so many things about yourself, your partner, your family. You announce your successes on Facebook. You even indicate your location. I have just left this particular place, and I'm going here. Now I am in this place. That is dangerous to your life. You are putting yourself under great peril, and so we have to be careful about that. Yesterday, on our trip, there was a man sitting not too far from us. Now, in that hall where we were waiting, there were two flights waiting to be boarding for Abuja. There was a flight waiting to be boarding for Port Harcourt. And there were two flights waiting to board for Warri. So it was a large gathering of people. And this man was on his phone for that period we were waiting because our flight was delayed. And we say apology to those who actually delayed their own movement. Very sad about that. For that period of about 1 hour, the man was on his phone. And what was he saying? Everything about himself. How he was nearly kidnapped. How he has up to five guards. Details around him, the amount of money he paid at the UK airport, how people have come to carry his luggage, this and that, all about himself, how rich he is. That would be extremely presumptuous. You could almost locate where he lived. You can almost know exactly his bank account by his talk, giving every detail. That was dangerous, especially at a time like this. Now, let us read a number of cases of presumptuous behavior in the Bible. Let us look at Genesis. I think it's chapter 11. Yes. And verses 1 to 4, I will read. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and he dwelt there. Then he said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them. Thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Recall intentions. We want to make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let's just see what happened in 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. I'll just leave it there because I think that we may know the story. It never worked. These people were being presumptuous as many of us are quite often. They came to that spot together and they wanted to build a city and make a name for themselves. Do the highest kind of skyscrapers you could ever imagine. And it was very ridiculous that when they came there, it didn't even occur to them. Somebody created us and brought us here. Have we sought his opinion about his intention? And that's the way some of us are living. We found ourselves on earth, found many good things on earth. Somebody is providing for us, giving us air to breathe, sunshine, everything. And some of us assume that it's just natural. How foolish we are. and we want to make a name for ourselves without consulting him. It is dangerous. The Lord ensured that these people, it didn't even take him much effort to ensure that their very, very selfish intentions were not executed. It didn't take him much effort. All he did was to make sure that their language was no longer one language. Scatter their language. So that maybe if Isaac is saying, give me broom, the other one is hearing, give me stone. And that was it. They could no longer be rebuilding. Hallelujah to our living God. He is faithful. All power belongs to him. Now, if we look at another scripture, this time, I think it's Luke chapter 12. Chapter 12, I want to refer to the Luke chapter 12, 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, the same intention. What was the intention? Say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But what did God do? God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? This hinges on the way we are able to manage our successes. Part of our success is being our wealth. When you suddenly discover that God has blessed you with something more than you thought you could get, if we quantify it into these terms, in terms of money, and so you want to, your bank account is about to swell. The man simply said, I'm going to pull down this and I will build greater ones. That's the way you score, you store harvest that is excess. If the way we earn our money is not by agrarian means, then we are not building pulling down banks. Instead, we are enlarging our bank accounts. Let it swell. Let me now enjoy myself. Child of God, the best way you can enlarge your bank account is to ask God where the areas of need are and to ensure that the excess of the money goes to those areas of need. Who owns the money? I want an answer. Who owns the money? Most times we think it belongs to us. It's giving us the opportunity to handle them. But the way to go is to find out from him the areas of need and where he may have us invest them. And the Bible is very, very clear about where we should invest them. When we don't invest them, then we leave them for moths to eat. The other day, Chaplin was telling us about the man who stored hard currencies, dollars and so on. And at the end of the day, they were all wasted. And the Bible has told us that we shouldn't do that. It's presumptuous to think that because you have this in your hand, it belongs to you, it's my money, let me spend it as I will. I don't know whether you watch to our greatest displeasure, the burial that took place recently, where a brand new BMW bought at 32 million naira was used as a casket to bury a man in the southeast. I'm sure people in that village, there are people in that village who cannot even send their children to school. But that thing had to be put down. And if we had a government, such things should never happen. If we had a government, such things should never, never happen. That was being extremely presumptuous. And it has its own peril. Danger to our economy. Danger to everybody around, to the person concerned. The Lord will help us to build ourselves a relationship with Him that will require and desire to always hear from Him. Where should I go next, Lord? What should I do next? In Jesus' name. Let me see another scripture, media, let me see the other scripture I gave to you that tallies with this. And, no, not this, the other one. There's yet another scripture I want to look at before this one. Yes. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potter strive with the potter of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to his mother, what have you brought forth? How can we strive with our maker? How can we strive with our maker? The minute we no longer recognize his place in our lives in this relationship, we are striving with him. We are striving with our maker. We must always have to ask him so that we don't run into danger. People run into danger when they also are moved by this, saying that all who have had misfortune along the road didn't ask God before the trouble. No, I'm not saying that. But quite a number of times, we should ask God, should I undertake this trip or not? If we really have a good relationship with him, before we go on to undertake our trips. If we take God's mercy and grace for granted, the Lord says you are a fool. The Lord says you are foolish when you take his grace for granted, because you don't know what next. Now let's look at other relationship with your colleagues. Ask yourself, I ask myself, is this relationship, do I become presumptuous and say a number of things about my colleagues out of jealousy? When within the place you work, there is no longer respect for seniority. There is no respect for that which is public fund you think is yours. And you amass the wealth of the people. Is that not part of what we have that has ruined our nation? Is that not the peril? That people go into office, it's not just that they're expecting that every fund they come across belongs to them and they are entitled to embezzling and using them. But other Nigerians around them also think that it belongs to them. And that is why if you have a relation in government office, you are expecting the relation to bring plenty money for you because there is money there. I recall a father who was telling the daughter, this one where your husband don't go government, there is money. All that when your husband they tell you say money not in a lie. Money day, harassment. Make you bring money, make all of us chop. Is that your attitude that you go to church and you say you have a relationship with the Lord? What you should be doing if you don't want to run into danger is to be praying for that person. To be counseling the person about his attitude towards government funds and government money. Now, when we bring this whole thing of being presumptuous down to the level of public behavior, sharing what we have. You are a road user, and this is a very trying area now. Road usage, and you just assume that the other person will take care. Even when you are doing the wrong thing, disobeying traffic regulations, you just believe the other people will take care. Nothing spoiled. You can go ahead and disobey the traffic rules. They won't jam you. You can't take care of your own safety. You want others to take care of you. And God has been taking care of all of us. Otherwise,
I wonder the number of accidents. And when once in a while you find that there are casualties, it's often so sad. Those are the perils. Young people. The Vuyo in South Africa I was talking about was just 46 years old. A number of times young persons think that I'm too young to die. So it doesn't really matter how you conduct yourself. You jump into your bike and you are flying everywhere, moving in between vehicles and all that. Other vehicles, bigger. By this scripture, you are a fool. Because you think that because you are young, nothing will happen. But you ought to know that things happen, and things happen to young people. It's not a prayer that that should ever happen to you. And the way out of it is to keep consulting the one who made you, and he went beyond making you, gave his life for you. Hallelujah. We can talk about friends. We can talk about officials and your relationship with them. Now, there is what we call a Midwest. That is Bendel before I do Delta culture. We are not a very respectful group of people. I recall some years ago when I took my baby, at that time she was just 16, going to 17, she was 17. I took her to Ife to go and report. And I bought just Tom Tom from a boy who was selling Tom Tom, Yoruba culture. See the way the boy was greeting me? My daughter turned around and said, "Mommy, did you do any other thing for him? What is it you really did?" I said, "Nothing. I simply just bought Tom-Tom." He said, "Is this the way they do here?" Some years later, she was to come back to tell me that those of them from Bendel, that they refer to them as pillars, that they always stand straight. They don't know how to bend and greet. Yes, there's a difference between standing straight physically and then bending in respect, even in your heart. Don't forget that the story of the rich fool we read, he didn't even come boasting aloud. He thought in his heart, if you read that scripture again, he thought in his heart. So some of those things that go on in our hearts can be quite presumptuous. So we should make sure that in the public place we are representing the Lord well. We are relating well. Now what about the church? Many of us behave very well in church. We don't like to show presumptive behavior in church, but once in a while it comes up. And I want to seize this opportunity to say, if you don't visit and you are expecting people to visit you, you are being presumptuous. If I don't visit, I'm expecting people to visit me. I'm being presumptuous. Why should I expect them to visit me if I'm not visiting them? So that is one thing we should also take note of in this relationship of our being brethren. You are not praying for the pastor, you are not praying for the chaplain, but you expect them to be praying for you. That's being presumptuous. God also expects you to pray for them. Now, the family is the beginning point of this. Look at the family. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? How presumptuous are you? There is no thank you in your vocabulary for your wife. Because as she's my wife, what is expected? There is no thank you in your vocabulary for your husband. What is expected? After I'm going to Abraka, and I can't drive, I don't have a driver, and my husband drives, let him just carry me to Abraka and bring me back. And once we get home, I just walk into the house. I don't turn around and say, "Darling, I'm so grateful to you for all the trouble you took." Those are things that add some spice to relationships. Those are some of the, by the time you lose them, you miss them, and you begin to run into some problems, some dangers. Some things look so small, but you find that they affect relationships. "No thank you, no I'm sorry." And the enemy will whisper it to your spouse. Don't you see? He's taking you for granted now. He's taking you for granted. There's some family members, the extended family. Somebody comes to stay with you, or you've gone to stay with somebody. and you are earning a salary. You are even on level 10, but you are staying with a relation of yours. You don't contribute to buying up gas. You don't sleep. You don't even do anything in the house. You pocket all your money for yourself. You eat. And how much are they earning? Possibly just level 12. That is what they used to take care of all the children. And to take care of you. You are a fool by this scripture. You are. Because you are presumptuous expecting. There is danger in that. The love bond weakens. And when the love bond weakens, the weak point is where the enemy gets in a relationship. And before you know it, you are in trouble. We can go on and on. I will enjoy us and really delightfully enjoy us to make sure that at the home level, we keep relationships very, very, very affectionate and very sweet. The danger is that you will reap a harvest of hate when you continue to be presumptuous. There is peril. You are going to reap a harvest of hate, hatred all around you. If you are hated because you are doing God's will and doing it well, that's not what we are referring to. We are referring to the kind of hatred that comes because you just take things for granted. You are arrogant. Nobody can correct you. In fact, there was a little boy in Africa grammar school some years ago that the female teachers were trying. Teacher was trying to correct him, and he just turned to the female teacher, a boy of 12 years old, and said, "I don't talk to women. I don't talk to women." As bad as that, that boy is already getting ruined quite early. Those are behaviors that those of us who know what it should be should love, should take time and correct in love. Now, bring back that scripture to me as I conclude.
Sorry so much.
Bring back that scripture, Micah. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? 10,000 rivers of oil shall I give my firstborn? That's the greatest you can give, because that's the greatest God gave. For my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul, gone. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what is it that is good? Does the Lord require of you but to do justly, justice, love, mercy, to walk humbly before your God? And let's look at Romans 10:9, concluding. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 10. For with the heart one believes, and some say it ends here. It doesn't end there. Here how it goes. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you just been assuming that you are a Christian because you come to church? Or some time ago you actually said, "I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me," and the Lord forgave you, and you started living a new life. But midway you decided that God has become so familiar now, and you became presumptuous. You no longer have your morning devotion with God. You no longer pray the way you ought to pray. You feel that just activities in the house of God is okay. This is the time to come back to God in repentance. This is the time to renew this relationship. The truth is that this relationship should be renewed because His mercies are new every morning. In the children evangelism, they have this their book, which indicates so many things. My heart was dark with sin,
until the Savior came in. The blackness is the blackness I'm wearing. His precious blood, the red, I know, has washed my heart white as snow, the shoe I have here. And on his word, I depend on this word, I'm told that I will walk the streets of gold. The earring I have is just gold plated. But you know gold, the streets are tied with gold. And we want to walk that street hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day. Hand in hand along the way. We shall walk the streets of gold. Hand in hand with Jesus. That's my prayer for us. That we should not be presumptuous. Presumption can make us degenerate. But when we take the details of this relationship and nurture this relationship the way it should be on holiness, we will walk the streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, deliver us from presumptuous sins. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Help us to keep safe and keep away from the peril, the danger of presumption and presumptuous sin. Let us not think that this is too small. In the name of Jesus, guide us all through this relationship to nourish it, to nurture it, to love you, to sacrifice for it, to bring others into it as we go to heaven together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.